So I apologize for my youngest daughter. She always tries to get the center of attention. Just never fails wherever we go. It's like, y'all forget about me. Her birthday was 7 months ago. Ish. No, just kidding. It was actually on Friday, and so that's part of the reason why I came back, was to be able to celebrate her birthday with her. And what a joy that was, let me tell you. We had an exciting time. You can tell it's written all over my face, right? So let me introduce my family to you. Some of you were here on that Wednesday night when my wife and I came over, and I'll ask them to stand up and I'll embarrass them, right? Put them on the spot. But my wife, Marcy, and I have been married for 31 years. 31 years. It's a testimony for God's goodness, right? You know, it's only by God's grace that, like, we have not, right, thrown in the towel. And you go through some difficult times in a marriage. And she doesn't like for me to share this, but our second year of marriage, I was thinking about throwing in the towel. And man, just to think, I could have missed out on those 29 years that has felt like 10 minutes underwater. But this is my wife, Marcy. So, and then we have Caleb is our oldest, and his bride, Kimmy, so I'll get them to stand. They have been married for 9 years. Isn't that crazy? 9 years. So next year they'll hit the double digits. They have a daughter, our only grandchild, and she is terrorizing somebody right now, somewhere, right? They visited one church. Actually, it's our church up in Kentucky, and got done with the church service, and they go and get her from, you know, her Sunday school class, and our junior church or whatever they, you know, called it, and the teacher said, "Oh my, she was such a blessing. She went ahead and told the story for us." So that's good. That's a testimony to my son and daughter-in-law. And then my next child is Hannah, the one who led us in the song a while ago. So this is Hannah. She's married and to an idiot. I'm just kidding. He's really a great guy. He is leading singing this morning, so he wasn't able to be here with us. But Eli, they've been married now just a little over a year. So they hit a year in June. And then my son Micaiah and his bride Mariah, they've been married for 3 years. And anyhow, so they all reside in Enterprise, Alabama. They just hit 3 years in June as well. And then, of course, y'all know our youngest, right? She needs no introduction. Everybody knows her. Had a chance to sing happy birthday to her. Is it Paige? Is that right, Paige? Is that right? Right. It's embarrassing being up here in front of everybody. And you did it. Twice! Very good. Proud of you. This is our youngest, Lydia. She just turned 20. on Friday, and so anyhow, I'm glad just to be able to be home and spend some time with my family. It's hard being apart, you know. My wife and I've talked about, man, this is kind of rougher than a deployment. You know, deployment, you know I'm not coming back, right? You know, for a while. I mean, I guess here we're in the States and we can't see each other, you know. It's like 8 hours apart. And then we have our adopted son here with us, Julio Iglesias Rodriguez. You can just call him by his nickname, Billy Bob. That'll be fine. Actually, his name is Saul. But when I was stationed at Fort Rucker, I would help out the YMCA there. And they had, athletic program and so forth, sports. And I was their sports director for almost 4 years. And so I was over their soccer that they had and the basketball and t-ball and so forth. And Saul played soccer for us. And anyhow, started going to church with us, and or was already at the church, and anyhow, just been a good friend to the family for years. So I appreciate him coming today, and we said something about food, and he said, "I'm coming." So, you know, there you have it. Please keep me in your prayers. You know, I am prayerfully seeking the Lord's will. You know, it's kind of a, I've got to be conscientious of my time, right? Alrighty. I got about 29 minutes. Somebody's going to start throwing tomatoes at me. You know, it's a nerve-wracking time for me right now. You know, emotions are all over the place. I love what I do. I love being a chaplain. I love being with my soldiers. I love doing my best to be a testimony, as it was said earlier. You know, the Bible tells us, come out from among them, what? And be you separate, you know. And so I enjoy what I do. It's been a difficult task. I was enlisted for 7 years and been a chaplain now for 19 years this November. And finally retiring. I will get my retirement orders in September, and it should be sometime for, you know, 2027. We're hoping early, but, you know, government owns me, right? So anyhow, keep me in your prayers. I want to do the Lord's will. You never go wrong by letting Him lead. Sometimes we can get our hands in the mix of things and mess up a work that He's trying to do. And so I want to keep my hands off of the situation. Me coming into the chaplain corps is kind of a funny situation. The first time I was presented with the opportunity to be able to come in as a chaplain, my wife said, no. Her dad retired Army 22 years. And so she was what they call an Army brat, yes. I would never call her that. Y'all did. But anyhow, so she was this Army brat, right, that just traveled with her family all over. And she told me, she was like, oh, please not the Army again. And so I said, okay, we'll just pray about it. Door closed, right? And so the second time it presented itself, I closed the door. I told my wife, I don't believe this is the right time. I was pastoring a church and they wanted me to be a National Guard chaplain in the state where I was pastoring. And I said, I don't believe this is the right time. I said, you know, so I closed the door. And then the third time it presented itself, I said, okay, let's see what God's doing here. And so here we are almost 19 years later. And we've just allowed the Lord to lead. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to take them and turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. Appreciate the opportunity to be able to come and share with you. I've spoken with Brother Randy and told him my son is still taking some classes, trying to finish up his degree. He works with children there on the installation. But he also works at a church, and he and his wife are help out there with kids. But he's praying about the Lord's direction in his life. And so I'd appreciate your prayers for Micaiah and Mariah. But anyhow, I've offered, you know, for him to potentially maybe be able to come over. And I know y'all are needing some pulpit supply, and so maybe he can come over and share God's word with you. We're going to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses. We'll read a few verses. I'm going to focus just on one verse today, and hopefully give us all something that we can take home today. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we'll begin reading with verse number 12. The Word of God says, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you." Verse 13, "And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." I don't know about you, but I absolutely love peace. Only by pride cometh what? Contention. Word of God tells us only by pride comes contention. And I absolutely love peace. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Isn't it hard sometimes to put a smile on your face? The Bible tells us to rejoice evermore. And sometimes we go through some difficult things in life and we think, my goodness, how can I make it through this? I don't remember, but I know you've been without a pastor for a while. And I know it's tough. In the church that I pastored in North Dakota, they had been about 18 months without a pastor when I came. And the church had dwindled. And thankfully, you know, the Lord did a work there, and I'm thankful for it. But the people were hurting. They'd gone through a tough time, and they needed a pastor, somebody who's going to teach them and preach to them, share with them the Word of God, but also love on them, you know. And so they were hurting when we got there. They had had a pastor for over 30 years, and then got a pastor in that ended up destroying things a little bit. I don't even think he made it a year. And then they went 18 months. That pastor did, while I was there pastoring, he did end up sending a letter to the church and apologized for some of the things that he had done. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. We talked about prayer just a little bit in Sunday school. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. Man, doesn't it seem like evil is just all around us? Oh my goodness, everywhere you turn. I gave it to my daughter-in-law, or maybe my wife, but anyhow, my cell phone, it is terrible. That thing is, I believe our cell phone knows more about us than what we let on. My wife and I, back when we lived together, we would play a game in bed at night together on our phone. And you know how it pops up these ads. And so this one ad popped up and I asked my wife, I was like, what is that? It's some, what's the orange drink? Dose. There it is, Dose. Now my phone, we're playing on my wife's phone. My phone's over here, right? I've never seen this thing before. Never in my life have I seen this thing. And so I said, what is this? And I don't even know. You'd have to ask my wife and my daughter. I guess it helps to cleanse out bad things. Y'all know what Dose is? Yeah, okay. Can you act like you know what Dose is? Just nod your head for me. Yes, okay, you know what I'm talking about. Good. And so it's supposed to help cleanse you of your liver, you know, whatever. It gets rid of your liver. It just goes away. It's supposed to help your liver, right, function better. So it gets rid of the bad stuff in your liver. And so I'm like, I've never even seen this before. So we finished playing the game, whatever. The next day, guess what's popping up on my phone? Dose. I'm like, seriously? I don't want this mess. Get off. Our phones, but they can be evil. You know, I told my wife, I said, I need my cell phone. That's a shame, isn't it? Like, I need it. Right? We need the Word of God, right? But I need my cell phone because of my soldiers, right? Accessibility. They need to be able to get in touch with their chaplain. And it's a great way to communicate fast, right? Several people at one time. I told my wife, I said, I'll be glad when I retire. I said, I might want to go back to a flip phone. You know, one of them flip phones where you have to hit ABC to get to the C. You got to hit it three times and so forth. She probably won't let me do that, but abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, verse 23. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Father, I need your help this morning. Lord, may you speak through me, speak to each and every person that's here. And Father, I pray that you'll give us something fresh from your word. Help us to be able to leave here today with something from your word. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. Verse number 18, the Bible says, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I cannot begin to tell you how many times over the years I've had people come up to me and talk about, I just want to know what the will of God is, right? I want to know what the will of God is. I want to do the will of God. What is the will of God for my life? And we'll have these conversations with people. Well, this will of God, it occurs 23 times in the New Testament. So if you want to know what the will of God is, read your Bible and find those verses that deal with the will of God. And we find one here. What is the will of God? Well, in everything. How many things? In everything, give thanks. Everything in your life, you are to be thankful. Give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In other words, anybody here named Johnny? Okay, y'all know the Johnny jokes, right? You know? So Johnny was eating dinner with his family, and as they're sitting there at the table, Johnny's just chattering, right? He is just a talker. And Mama tells him, you need to stop. We're getting ready to pray. We're going to eat. And so Johnny just continues talking, right? And Mom's getting frustrated. Dad's getting frustrated. And they finally tell him, they're like, quit your talking, or you're going to go over there and sit by yourself. And sure enough, he continued talking. So they told Johnny, you go over there and you sit by the window. You're going to sit by yourself and you can eat over there by yourself. So Johnny goes over there, and they told him, they said, you need to pray. So little Johnny, he bowed his head. Lord, I thank you for preparing a place for me in the presence of my enemies. I don't think that's exactly what they meant. You and I need to maintain a heart of gratitude. I've entitled the message, Heart of Gratitude. Do we have a heart of gratitude? We should all take time throughout the week, every day, to thank God. Are you thankful for your salvation this morning? Man, I was 14 and thought I was saved. Had been in church all my life. I can remember this one church that a preacher had started. And I can remember they had the folding chairs and being 3 years old, climbing underneath the chairs, right? Those folding chairs, laying right there at them. And I can remember taking a nap, you know. I've always been in church. And I wrestled with my salvation for the longest time. I would come in and hear a preacher talking about salvation, and it was like the Holy Spirit of God was dealing with me. And I'd walk away from the service and I'd ask my mom or my grandmother, I believe I need to be saved. And they're like, no, you got saved over at Trinity Baptist Church when you were like 7 years old. And I'm like, I don't remember that. I would walk away from that conversation. I'd be like, man, okay, they know I'm saved. I just don't know that I'm saved. And so that went on for several years. And finally at age 14, I was listening to a man preach on a cassette tape as I was traveling with my grandparents, and he made a statement that God used to speak to my heart. He said, if you do not remember a time and a place where you by faith trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not saved. And I asked my grandfather, I said, will you turn that off? And so he turned it off, and I said, is what that man said the truth? And he said, what part? And I said, well, he said that if I don't remember a time and a place where I, by faith, trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, I'm not saved. And my grandfather said, yeah, that's true. And I sat back in the back of their car and I was pondering that. I leaned forward and I told my grandparents, I said, you know, I said, that's me. I said, I don't remember a time. And I told my grandparents, I said, if we got in a wreck and I was to die, I said, I fully believe that I would split hell wide open because I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. We talked a little, you know, a bit further about it. We got to my grandparents' house, and I remember it like it was yesterday, 136 Butternut Court, Rocky Mount, North Carolina. They walked inside and went into the kitchen, and I went upstairs to their bedroom, and I knelt down beside their bed. And that day, by faith, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And like I never have to be concerned about it whatsoever. I settled that for myself. I made the decision. He used the Holy Spirit of God to speak to me through Daryl Dunn. But I have to make the decision, just like you have to make the decision. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, friend, can I tell you, it is the best decision you'll ever make in your life. My wife always testifies that's the best decision she's ever made in her life, and the second best decision was marrying me. Or something like that. All right, y'all just stick with it, okay? And don't talk to her at lunch. Best decision I've ever made in my life. Every time I've deployed, I've not been concerned whether or not I was going to be coming back. Because I knew if I wasn't where I was heading. I want to share with you four areas that prevent us from having a heart of gratitude. And I've got to hurry, so I'm going to try and speak fast. You listen fast, and we'll see if we can get done at 11:59. Complaining. These are areas in our lives where sometimes it will prevent us from having a heart of gratitude. Complaining. Do you know somebody who complains? All right, I'm going to look into your left and right. I absolutely cannot stand being around somebody who complains. The Lord taught me this lesson with my first deployment. I deployed to Iraq and I saw how little they have and how much we have here in America and take things for granted. I come back and I was home for my R&R, and my wife and I had our kids and we were in Walmart, and we were standing behind this these two ladies, I believe, and they started talking with each other and complaining about things that didn't matter, right? And my wife looked at me and she said, are you okay? And I know my face was red as I'll get out. I was getting so angry. Like, do you not realize how good you have it here in America? And I told my wife, I said, look, and I gave her the debit card. I said, I'll be out in the van. I said, I can't stand here right now. Like, I don't want to lose my testimony, right? We heard about that in Sunday school. I don't want to lose my testimony. I need to remove myself from this situation. Complaining. The psalmist said in Psalm 37 and verse 25, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging what? Bread. The Bible says that if we have these two things, we should be content. Do you know what two things they are? The Bible says if we have these two things, you and I should be content. Food. Do you know what the second one is? Raiment. Clothes. Thankfully, all of you have got your clothes on. And here in just a few more minutes, about 12, we're going to be getting us some food, right? As long as you have these two things, the Bible says you should be content. Are we? Sometimes when we begin complaining, if you're around somebody who complains, it rubs off on you, and you begin complaining yourself. If we complain, we're not having a heart of gratitude. Number two, critiquing. Do you know somebody who critiques what everybody else is doing? Psalm 1:1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. The scornful person is constantly sitting back and mocking or critiquing what is taking place in the church, running their mouth about how they would do this or that if they were in charge. It's been said that 10% of the members do how much of the work? 90% of the work, while 90% of the church sits there and critiques what the 10% is trying to faithfully do. We got enough people who occupy the pews. We need to get busy, right? Yep, so complaining, critiquing. What about coveting? Coveting, wondering if the grass is greener on the other side. We've got, my wife and I have 4 goats. 49 chickens, I think. We've lost some. But we've got these goats. And it dawned on me yesterday. The goats have, they're in a fenced-in area. And the goats have plenty of grass and weeds inside that fenced-in area to eat. Plenty. Trying to paint the picture. See if you make sure you can see it. And we've got this one bright goat who likes to stick her head through the opening that's just barely big enough for her head, and then she can't figure out how to get back in. But she sticks her head through the fence, her horns get hung, right, and she can't get back in. But you know what she's doing? Why is she sticking her head through that fence? Because the grass is greener on the other side. She's grazing on that grass that's on the other side of the fence. How many of us tend to look at what others have and we covet what they have because we think that the grass is greener on the other side? How many of you have heard of the 80-20 couple? Anybody heard of the 80-20 couple? Let me share with you the 80-20 couple. The 80-20 couple. This couple's married. And there's 80% of his marriage that he loves about his wife. 80% of it. But there's 20% of it that he doesn't love and wishes would change. 80% of what he loves is the fact that she takes care of their children. When he comes home from work, the meal is prepared. She takes care of the dishes. She washes clothes. How many of you want a wife like that? She washes the clothes for him. She vacuums. She takes care of all the things inside the house and everything is in order. The 20% that he doesn't love is the fact that she's not athletic. She doesn't like going and doing anything, whether it's playing tennis, a round of golf, getting on a treadmill, playing some basketball, whatever the case may be. So there's 20% of the relationship of his wife that he doesn't love, but 80% he's in love with and loves her. So he's at the gym one day and he's on a treadmill and he's running, right? And he's running at 8.5 speed and he's getting after it. And he notices this female get on the treadmill beside him. And she begins running. And he's thinking, man, it seems like she's keeping up with me, right? And so he glances over to see what she's running at. And she's running at the same speed. So he continues running until they get done. Or until she gets done. And when she stops, he stops. And he says, man, you were really getting after it. She says, oh, yeah, I love running. She says, I love to play tennis. He said, oh, me too. And they begin this conversation, right? And so the next thing you know, they're always meeting up at the gym at the same time, right? And then they begin playing tennis with each other. And then he begins to fall in love with this woman. And so he leaves his wife, only to find out that this new woman doesn't like to cook. And she is a sloppy housekeeper. And she doesn't want his kids ever coming over to the house. She enjoys going out to eat. So he fell in love with 20% of a woman. And 80% he couldn't stand. Sometimes we think the grass is greener on the other side. We need to be careful. We begin coveting or comparing what we have with what somebody else has. We begin coveting what others have, and we can lose our heart of gratitude. We need to make sure that we don't covet what other people have. Exodus chapter 20, verse 17 says, "Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, your neighbor's wife, manservant, maidservant, his ox, his ass, nor anything that is his neighbor's." Let me share with you number four, calamities. Calamities. These are four things in our lives that if we're not careful, we could begin losing sight of being thankful, having a heart of gratitude. If you've been a Christian for any length of time, you've experienced some type of disaster in your event, in your life. Something that maybe it's great loss, maybe it's suffering, maybe it's even some type of judgment. Calamities come our way and they can cause us to lose focus of God, His goodness, and as a result, we become ungrateful. I want to be grateful for everything that takes place in my life, the good and the bad. We can learn from the bad, right? Things that we go through. I told my wife when I was pastoring, we ended up losing two babies back to back. And it was a tough time for us because we love kids and we wanted, I know it's going to sound bad, we wanted a dozen, right? We wanted a bunch of children. And so after our sixth pregnancy, the doctor said it'd be best if we don't have any more. And so we got halfway there. But I told my wife, I said, if we never go through a difficult time, it would be hard for us to be able to help others knowing what they're going through if we've never been through it ourselves. So, as difficult as it was, we put a smile on our face and we trusted God through the situation. Calamities. We all go through tough times. If we're not careful, we can lose sight of God's goodness. We need to have a heart of gratitude in our lives. The complaining, the critiquing, the comparing, the calamities. There's a song that my family listens to quite a bit. Have y'all ever heard of the Rochester family? They travel and sing, Rochester? Yeah, okay, a couple of you have. And they sing this one song entitled, "Thank You, Lord." Love the song. Love it when my family's singing this song. It says, the first stanza says, "For making the sun to shine, putting the stars in the sky, for the flowers that bloom, the ocean so blue, thank you, Lord. For the sparrow that sings and makes sweet melody, for the rivers that flow, the rain and the snow, thank you, Lord." The chorus says, "I just want to thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for me, thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, for making me whole, saving my soul, thank you, Lord." The second stanza says, "For my whole family, for the joys that you've given me, for the shoes on our feet, plenty to eat, thank you, Lord. For the church where I worship and pray, for the freedoms I have today, for your spirit I feel, your presence so real, thank you, Lord." And then the last stanza says, "For being a friend so dear." Man, sometimes when it seems like you have nobody on your side, the Lord is on your side. Amen. "For being a friend so dear, giving my sad heart cheer. For holding my hand when I could not stand, thank you, Lord. For giving your life for me on the cross of Calvary. For taking my place, your mercy and grace, thank you, Lord." I want to ask you the question this morning in closing. Do you have a heart of gratitude? Or have there been things in your life that have obscured the way? Whether it's something that I mentioned, the fact that we complain, we critique, whatever the case may be, coveting, comparing, or calamities. Have we lost sight of God's goodness and lost sight of being thankful to Him? Young preacher, as the story goes, preached, and when he got done, he asked the head deacon, an older gentleman, seasoned in life, to close him out in prayer that day. And so the older man began to pray. And he prayed this prayer, and he said, "Lord, I cannot stand buttermilk." He said, "Lord, to be honest with you, I don't even like lard." He said, "And furthermore, Lord, I don't even like to put a pinch of flour in my mouth." He said, "But God, I know that when you mix all those things together and you put it in the oven and heat it up, they're some of the best biscuits that I can ever put in my mouth." He said, "So Lord, I don't know what you're doing right now, but I'm going to trust you through it, knowing that in the end, it's going to be good." I don't know what you're going through, friend. The difficulties, the struggles, the cares of this life. But God does, and He will help you through it. We must do our part and have a heart of gratitude. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I want to thank you for the opportunity to be able to come and just share a few minutes with you from God's Word. I wonder if there's anybody here today that would be honest and say, "You know, I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. You started talking about that and God was dealing with me. I've never trusted Christ as my Savior." I promise I will not embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. It's the best decision you could ever make in your life. Is there somebody here this morning that would be honest and say, "Chaplain Davidson, that's me. I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. Would you just slip your hand up? I just want to pray for you." Wonderful. It's all family here this morning. Everybody's trusted Christ as their Savior. Let me ask you, have things gotten in the way? Do you have a heart of gratitude? Do we get our eyes focused on what we're going through? Or do we keep our eyes on the Savior? Father, Lord, I love you. I thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, I pray that as we have the closing hymn, Lord, that you would just deal with hearts. Help us each and every one to leave here today. Something in our pocket, Lord, a heart of gratitude as we face this next week. I sure do love you. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen.
Okay, we're going to have a time of invitation. If anybody here needs to come to the altar to pray, you can do that at this time. That'll give the ladies enough time to get the food over there prepared. So if you would, please bow your head. And if anybody needs to come to the altar to pray, please do that. Maybe there's something that Brother Davidson talked about today that you got going on in your life that you need to get straightened out today. Now's the time to do that. As we all know, we're looking for a pastor here at our church. This would be a good time to come and pray at the altar and let God know what we need here at our church and ask Him to provide that for us here.